episode 84. As always, it's Michael and
Chad.
What's up, Chad?
You know, I can't believe it's another international break and nothing exciting happened this weekend.
Oh, what a match day 8. This is what we've been waiting for, right?
So glad it's back.
Dude, as soon as the morning was over with, I went, what just happened? What just happened here? So much drama, so much, I guess a lot of things that we were kind of hoping would come back. And I think the EPL truly delivered this weekend in the controversies, the script writing, awesome goals, fun games to watch. But I know I always go back to my 24-25 bucket list, and it's the thing I bolded was less controversy, and boy, here we are.
Yeah, you know, it's not a Premier League weekend without some controversy, some debate about a call or two, you know.
Had to be done. Had to be done. Well, I'm sure you're having a drink. I sure am. I had one earlier, 9.5%. I said I can't have two of those.
That looks yummy.
It wasn't my favorite. It was good. It was good, not my favorite, but Bell's is kind of one of my favorites out here. The Hazy Hearted IPA. Just a classic Midwest.
Thanks.
Trout?
Yeah. Salmon. Talking classic, I went back to the classic Voodoo Ranger Juicy Haze. Back in action.
Great beer. So, great time of year. We're still here, New Belgium.
Yeah. Still, we're even more popular now. So.
Coming up. You know what, Chad? I'm going to do a quick stat breakdown for the viewers who come in here. I don't know how. I don't know why. We've only released one podcast, okay? I didn't share this news with you because it felt almost too good to be true, okay? In the last 30 days, we released one episode. Mm-hmm. We had 6 new followers in the last 3 episodes. So that doubled our amount. We had 3 of the first 3, 3 more in the last 3. Our last episode, Chad, had 371 plays.
What? How?
I don't know. If this is the thing, if this is what we are now, 371 plays, Chad. Maybe they saw that we took a break and they said, oh my God, they're back.
They're back.
And now
I'm happy to be here for you, for your viewing and listening pleasure. yeah, thank you, I guess. Like, keep spreading the word about Hooligan's Pitch, you know? We enjoy doing this, so...
One more story before we get going here on our EPL talk. I statted a game on Friday night at Stevens College. The guy who was doing the PA asked me where I was from. I said, oh, small town near Sacramento. And he says, Roseville? And I go, no, but... I was like, that's very close. And he sat there and thought about it for a second. He goes, Rockland? I was like, okay, time out. Like, who are you? Where are you from? He goes, he's from Benicia. Cool guy to talk to. He's like a couple years older than us, but still kind of the same age group. He went to Napa Junior College and then transferred out to Missouri 12 years ago, and he's been here ever since. Super small world stuff. But he was asking me what I do, and I showed him, like, oh, I do this soccer stuff. That's how I got involved doing stats. And I said, he's like, what's your podcast called? I go, Hooligan's Pitch. And he goes, I think I've heard of that. And I go,
what?
I go, that's awesome. I kind of doubt it, but that's awesome. That's such a good, catchy name that at least, like, it makes you think about it a little bit. And he was genuine. I was like, maybe you have, maybe you haven't. So
that's it. We're on the up and up here. So,
well, we can't go down, so... That's the good news. Yeah. We're established. Anyway, let's get to it. Would you like to vent, or would you like me to just go into a high note here and say my thing? It's not too long, of course.
I mean, I think it depends. Like, I feel like we need to talk the Saliba call before we talk
anything else?
The other call, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Then take it away.
Okay, well, yeah, you know, I speaking on the game as a whole, I think it was always going to be a little bit rough for Arsenal. No Saka, still no Odegaard. You know, two big creative players there missing. And, you know, I think the lineup that Arteta put out was a little too, not even, like, defensive-minded, but just, like, the three of Rice, Partey, and Marino, I think, are all a little bit more of like the deeper playmakers. And, you know, to pair them with Trossard on the wing instead of Martinelli, I think, was a little bit of a weird choice. Sterling, I think, was a good choice considering that, but I don't know. Sterling hasn't really... He hasn't had a lot of opportunity to do anything yet, but, like, he didn't look overly great in his 30 minutes here.
Well, and I have to say, not his job to come in here and be a starting right wing. That's
yeah.
Was never expected.
Yeah, so I think from the get-go, the setup was a little suspect. Mm-hmm. You know, Bournemouth has been playing well. What they were... The third most shots, second most shots, or something.
We said last week. Top three.
Yeah. So you know they've been playing well, and you know Arsenal. I think there's a little bit of that hangover for an international break, a little bit of like just a different squad dynamic. So that there was a little bit of a not a rough first 30 minutes, but like you know a. It was like a setting in period. It felt like the players needed to kind of get used to everyone in their roles right now and see how it would shake out. So I was like confident, but it was just going to be one of those games that was just going to, I think, drag on, even if it stayed 11-11. But, you know, as to be expected, I guess, at this point, Arsenal is just going to get a red card at some point. Look, I don't know what Trossard's doing with his back pass here.
Yeah, let's be real. Let's start right there.
That's the first issue.
Great question. I have no answer.
I've you know watched a few times now. I've been trying to figure out, was he trying to pass to Saliba and just messed it up? Was he trying to pass to Raya and did it like way underpowered? Did he, you know, not intend for it to even go in the air and just kind of scuffed it or something and it popped up? I don't know, but that was just one of those terrible back passes that you know you never want to see, and I don't think you would expect from Trossard, but you know, certainly sets a bad situation for Saliba.
Left him out to dry for sure. My guess is maybe Trossard wanted to air it out in the sky to hopefully have his center backs go up and win it. I mean, and he just totally missed. Weird choice, but that's the only logical thing. Like, he trusts his defender so much to win aerials that he just lofted it up there, not paying attention to any positioning. I mean, Arsenal plays such a high line anyway. It's a bold move to make. And again, super dangerous situation. So carry on.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, Saliba's caught out a little bit, has to make the split second decision to try and get back. Puts a hand on Evan Nielsen. I'm not even going to say he pulls him back because I don't really think he does, but you know, Evan Nielsen goes down, as I think most players would in that situation. Ref gives a yellow on the field. I think this is completely fine, completely fair. For me, and I know, like, I've seen former refs, that ref on Instagram, I don't know if you saw, but he put out a video on it now. You know, plenty of fans, plenty of ex-players have all said their piece. Most people agree it should be red, and should be a dogzo situation. For me, I don't really necessarily agree. One, I think my first point of contention is, like, Premier League especially wants this to be a little bit more of a physical game, right? And, like, we've seen some physical challenges go unpunished, which is great, but then here, you know, Saliba has a hand on the arm of Evan Nielsen for a split second, and Evan Nielsen, like, whips his body around like he was yanked, and from what I can tell, it doesn't look like a physical yank like that. It looks more of just like a, I guess, a grab, but nothing substantial. So I think if you're gonna want to play a more physical game, you kind of have to call it both ways on that, right? Like, you can't allow the attacking side to go down in such an easy or soft challenge, I guess. Second point for me is we're at the halfway line, basically. And that ball is landing a good probably 10 yards from both Saliba and Evan Nielsen. If anything, it's on Saliba's side of the field, right? I don't think there's any way to say who gets there first necessarily. Even if Evan Nielsen gets there first, we don't know exactly, you know, the touch he's going to take. You still have Ben White on the other side of the circle, so not all that far away. And he's already started the run back, right? So, yes, he's not right there. But I think considering that ball is kind of away from goal a little bit, you know, it's not a direct, like, Evan Nielsen can pick it up midfield and shoot right away situation. Like, David Raya is back there. It's not an open goal or anything. I think you're taking too much, you're assuming too much, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, is like, this is going to play out perfectly for Evan Nielsen to have this great opportunity on goal. And he very well could have, but it also could have went the other way. And, you know, Saliba's a fairly quick defender too, so he could have been on him the whole way. You know, I understand Saliba put himself in a bad situation due to this pass.
Well, but, Trossard made – this is all Trossard's fault.
Yeah. But, like, you know, if Saliba doesn't touch him at all, then, you know, I guess he's home free and we see how this plays out. But, for me, yellow was called on the field. I don't think there was enough for VAR to step in and say this is – you know, a clearly obvious error. Yellow seemed fair in my eyes. It's I don't know. Like, I you know, initially I see it. Of course, I'm an Arsenal fan, so I'm biased in that. But, like, I've had a day and a half now to read everything and you know, watch it over and over and try and be able to step back and kind of have a more... It's always going to be biased, but, you know, try and see a more neutral side of it. I just feel like it's very harsh, especially considering what happens, you know, in the Liverpool game. But, you know, it just, I don't know. I feel like I'm one of the crazy ones that thinks this should be a yellow and nothing more, especially, you know, with all the former refs and stuff coming out in support of the red. But, like, I get it. They're going to kind of support each other, but... I don't know. What were your views on this?
Tough, because it was soft, and I get why he did it, right?
Yeah.
You have an open path to goal. You are a long ways away. That is the one thing where it's like, I don't really know what defines a clear goal-scoring opportunity when you are that far away. I mean, the pass was made, the back pass was made, and both players were essentially at the half line, and they were very close to each other. And Saliba, what he did, make a pass at him, but I can't tell you how many times I see a player grab a shirt, grab a short, try to put an arm on someone. It doesn't get called for nothing. So I understand. I understand that this was a challenging situation just because of how unusual it was, right? A back pass. The player was offside, but because Trossard made the pass, there is no offside. So Saliba, I think, just did something instinctual to him, not really knowing where anyone else was on the pitch. I hate to say it, but I do think a red is fair here, just because if Saliba didn't grab him, God, I wish he didn't. I wish he didn't, because then who knows what would have happened.
Yeah.
I think it was instincts for him to grab. It was not him trying to prevent a goal from being scored, because they're so far away, right?
Yeah.
They're so far away.
There's so much left to play out,
mm-hmm.
you know? Mm-hmm. So I can see both sides of the argument, but it's I just feel like it's so harsh considering, like, if ref on the field gave it a red right away, I think I would feel better about it being a red, but because ref, he's right there, he sees it all. He gives a yellow on the field. Like, I think, I don't know, I don't think it was enough for VAR to step in and want to overturn this.
And right? that's what I thought VAR was going to be doing this year, less intervention, yeah. Which I say at this point is far from the truth, and we're 8 weeks in, and who knows what will happen then for the next 30 weeks as we go along. Now, to compare this to the Tosin foul, brother.
If anything, that one feels way more clear. It's red.
Because at least with the Saliba red, you have Ben White crashing on the weak side of the pitch. In this one, when Tosin is grabbing Jota, I think it's who's behind him? Caldwell's on their right, and then you got, is it Gust or Reese? Yeah, Reese coming back from the far left, and Reese is not even close. And I would strongly believe that Jota is going to get in here. Again, here's where it gets tricky. It's like, what is going to define a clear goal-scoring opportunity? Tosin and Jota were pretty close together. I'm watching it as we talk here just to keep it as accurate as I can here. I would argue that Jota got the pass while Tosin was technically having his back to the goal, right? Jota had to be faster than Tosin to get there. And he kind of blew right by him, which is why Tosin grabbed the hell out of him, right? Yeah. Totally different from Saliba's here. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it's tough to watch because you look back and like the script writers just wanted to see what could have happened, eating it up, right? And then you got Joakim Andersen with Fulham doing something I don't want to say as identical as these two, but that one was such an easy, clear red to where he didn't even play the ball. Player was beating him. That right there, I define as a clear goal scoring opportunity because of how much distance was between the two, right? But all around, what did we get? 5 red cards on Saturday?
Yeah, maybe.
5 red cards. Yep. Kudus, Andersen, Saliba, Diop. And who's our fifth? Fraser, Ryan Villa. Fraser, Southampton.
Oh, yeah.
Villa was Issa Diop. I'm sorry. Philogreen. Is that how you say? I was looking at the own goal.
Yeah, but so that's kind of where I've ended up on this. Is like, I feel like the Saliba and Tosin fouls are either both yellows or both reds. While there's key differences, I think they kind of operate in that same realm of like you're far enough from goal, so it's hard to say what can happen and might have happened. You know, had Evan Nilsson not been touched, had Jota not been touched, like it's hard to say. But you know, it just sucks to see like a very similar situation, and one is punished more than the other. And like, I'm not on the you know, refs against Arsenal rhetoric that Reddit throws around. Like, I get it, it sucks. Like, it's I think it's just more the ruling and the officiating and the use of VAR that causes these issues. So yeah, I mean, I don't know, it sucks that Saliba's out now for Liverpool. Obviously we needed everyone back for that, and he'll be a big miss, but I'd say that the defensive line is one of the more more like covered areas for Arsenal, so you know, it won't be the same partnership obviously, but I think it'll still be a decent partnership back there, and you know, won't get rolled over like it's Mustafi back there or anything, so
Koscielny.
all that to say, I love that the Bournemouth fans were then singing the Saliba song after. That was some good banter there. Well done. you know, and their play to get the first goal, a clever corner, kick it back up to the box. Arsenal didn't have the players to cover everywhere. So Christie just powers it in. Great goal.
Yep.
And then I'm thinking this is probably Kivior's last appearance for Arsenal.
Think so.
He was already somewhat on the outs. There's a lot of talk of him leaving in the summer, but just the club that he wanted, I guess, didn't come in. And yeah, you know, he didn't look overly comfortable out there. And then a week back, pass back to Raya puts him in a weird spot. And Evan Nilsson again, you know, causes some chaos and they get their second goal, which, you know, fair play to Bournemouth. You still did it. You know, Man City took him a whole game to do this. So, True. It is what it is. A little bit like when we talked about Liverpool losing to Forest, I'd rather get the loss out of the way, you know, rebuild and move forward. And tough times, but, you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah, I told you, kind of going through the Liverpool ways of last year.
Yeah.
It's a weird feeling. It's none of these games are comfortable. And you just got to fight through them. But yeah, tough. This is a tough loss. But again, it's your second now? Second loss?
Just the first loss.
First loss. I thought the Brighton happened, but y'all drew Brighton.
No, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, considering, you know, the other red cards, we came out with draws on those. So yeah.
Three? Three red cards now or four?
Three red cards in eight games. So not a great stat to have this early on. And, you know, hopefully things will get more under control. It feels weird to have a stat like that and, you know, it not be because Granit Xhaka is doing Xhaka things. Like, mm-hmm. But, you know, just the drama of the season, right? And it's frustrating, but it's part of the fun, right?
Of course. We love the drama. It gives us a lot to talk about, that's for sure.
Exactly.
If that game was same old, this wouldn't have gone on for almost a half hour here of us just talking about the ref's decisions in three different games, all kind of tying in together. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you think the PK was an honest PK?
I think so. Okay. Initially,
just checking.
Yeah. Initially, from the view from, I guess, behind Evan Nielsen, I didn't think so. But then you get that view from behind Raya, and yeah, his leg kind of takes him out. And it's just one of those, like, he's just in a tough spot. Like, you got to go for the ball, but you know that the attacker's going to try and move it around you. And
it was a good move. And yeah, I mean, he got him. And I think Raya knew that too after the decision was made. He's like, yep, expected. Yeah. All right. Well, Liverpool-Chelsea was exactly the game that I thought would happen. A nice 2-1 victory probably could have been a little more. Definitely some calls in there that just make you go, oh my God. Okay, so now, the PK absolutely was a PK. There was a moment, though, when Liverpool made a hard foul on, I think it was Jackson in the box, and I was like, that's borderline. So that was a little scary early on, yeah. And then, of course, the Sanchez, pretty good tackle. But so he made the save, right? But you know how the whole thing was like when your foot rolls over the ball and like takes out someone, it's a foul on you.
Yeah.
You go watch that again. His knee rolled over the ball and took out. Who was attacking on that play? I'm gonna look really quick. I think it was Jones again. I think it was Curtis Joe. He was a monster. And I don't know. It just made me think like, oh well. After all the foots we've seen roll over the ball, like that gets called. It's not something I'm, of course, complain about because the keeper just gets different rules. But it just made me chuckle. And then, of course, I think we did talk about this last week. Nunez is going to get his chance. It's coming. And the inevitable happened. Jota got injured. It was a matter of time. I'm actually surprised it happened when it did. I thought it would happen way sooner. And Nunez came out with some energy, just how I thought he would. It was like, he's going to show this, I don't know, this more driven, passionate player he is when he realizes he's needed, right? And in the last seven games, you can't really say he's been needed because our depth at forwards is just insane. But this game, Xhota goes out, he's needed. And boy, did he come out with some fire. Great shoulder-to-shoulder tackles that are apparently illegal now. I love Slot's reaction. Nunez's reaction, expected. That's what I expected. But seeing Slot do that, I was like, okay. Yeah. Now I was like, this is that. Like, that's my manager now. I like when he shows some emotion, especially on a pretty awful call. I think we can – I'd like to see anyone disagree with that one. But just watching him flip out, the memes are out of control right now. I saw one, it was like, when your mom says you can't have ice cream, and it was like, they're just flipping out. I was like, that's so true. So again, pretty standard game. I'm happy we won. I'm happy we got the points. I thought Chelsea probably maybe could have got the draw here. They definitely had some opportunities, but our back line was secure, it seemed like. Yeah. Nothing wrong with our back line here. It was just a well-fought game. I mean, Chelsea, they're no real slouch this year, as it seems. They definitely know how to score goals. Keeping them to one goal this game is fine. Chelsea has the third most goals in the EPL right now with 17. So to hold them to one and only be our third allowed goal this season, that's good stuff right there. So that's pretty much it for me. It's 3 points and we go again.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned last night that the commentators were saying that, you know, Maresca out-tacticked Slot on this one and then was all over them in the first half. And I didn't see it that way. And, like, it didn't seem like you saw it that way either. And I saw some stat that Chelsea had the most touches in Liverpool's box since, I don't know, a couple years, whatever, in that first half. But, like, I get what that stat is trying to show, but at the same time, like, Liverpool's defense, I think, was had it pretty well under control. Like, okay, you're getting touches in the box, so yeah, you're in threatening positions, but like it seemed like at every turn it was, you know, Virgil's there or you know, Robertson sliding in, or you know, even Trent getting back and defending, and you know, everyone kind of was playing their role keeping Chelsea out. And you know, really, I think the story of the game is that Chelsea was just wasteful in the final third. They had 12 shots, only 2 on target, where Liverpool had 9 shots but 5 on target. So, you know, you could say they're getting out tactics or whatever, but I don't know. It seemed like Liverpool wasn't happy to let them shoot, but at the same time wasn't like getting super exposed and offering them, you know, great shooting opportunities. And yeah, I thought it was a pretty entertaining game. You know, it felt kind of like back and forth, but at the same time, it felt like Liverpool was already always kind of had the upper hand in it. But you know, it was a fun one to watch. Fun as a neutral.
Yeah, I never doubted us in that game, which is a fantastic thing to believe in. If you look at the heat maps, though, it does have Chelsea leaking into the 18, but it's all in the top corners of the 18. And it's like, yeah. I dare you to shoot it from there. I dare you. They won't. And that's why Liverpool probably boxed up perfectly, kept them out of the goal, and said, you can hang out here all you want. What are you going to do about it? Exactly. I mean, that's not Chelsea's game, though, as far as I know, is getting to the top of the 18 and trying to whip it into someone. They like the counters. They want to have the ball in Palmer's hands to either shoot it from the middle. Right, he's usually shooting right in the middle. And if you look, actually, this is pretty. If you open up the heat map, there's a big hole right where Palmer's playing. Do you see that?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's pretty interesting. So Liverpool's goal here was, and I think I said it last week, do not let Palmer beat us.
Yeah.
Anyone, we gotta go find that clip because that exists. I swear I said that. We are not gonna let Cole Palmer beat us. And I mean, look at the stats. What he had. Fantasy wise,
too much.
A point and a half.
Yeah, he was kept pretty quiet, and you know, kind of across the board, I think Chelsea players were kept pretty quiet. You know, yeah, Nick Jackson had that good run in behind, but like I feel like that was the only real threatening time. There was one moment at the end where Nkunku runs towards the back post and just can't get to the ball in time, but. Beyond that, like I said, I think Liverpool and their defense had it pretty well covered, you know, under control. Like, it looked like there was good connection between, you know, defense and attack, and, you know, Salah doing Salah things, causing chaos. And
oh, what can we talk about that assist?
It was incredible. It just, I don't know how he does it.
Insane.
I mean, even assist, but even, you know, Curtis Jones to take the control touch and then swap to the other foot to knock it past Sanchez, like, that shows right there, I think, that Liverpool was a step above Chelsea on the day. you know, yeah, credit to Chelsea. They're looking more together this season than they have in a while. And, you know, maybe things are starting to finally click, but I don't think they could be too disappointed with coming away with the loss. Like, maybe a draw if, you know, you had a little more luck, but you just got to get your shots on target, really. Force a save. But there you go.
I'm happy.
Yeah.
3 points, top of the table. Arsenal next in a weakened Arsenal. Couldn't, like, of course, I love to see a 100% fit team for each side. But the, you know, if I got to go through Arsenal and this is the Arsenal I'm getting, I'm going to take it.
You got to take what you can get.
Take what I can get, right? Because y'all would do the same, and that's totally allowed.
I think it'll still be fun, though. Like,
I hope so. It should be.
You know, Arteta's pretty tight-lipped on injuries and people coming back. It sounds like Saka might be available for the Champions League game tomorrow. But if not that, I'm sure he's going to be on that in that squad for Liverpool. And it sounds like Odegaard is maybe going to make it for the weekend. So it could just be, you know, just Saliba missing back there, which is certainly a big miss. But I think either way, it's going to be a hard-fought battle and, you know, a fun one to watch, even though we're probably going to be pretty stressed out the whole time. But, you know, we'll find some fun in there.
And we don't have Alice on up until Thanksgiving. So he's
yeah, what happened to him? I didn't realize he got injured.
He hurt his thigh somehow. Not sure how that happened. I'm assuming it must have happened over international break. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a bummer. There's no return dates for Chise and Jota. And then, of course, Harvey Elliott's not due back for at least a couple more weeks. So those are our main injuries, which are pretty key pieces, at least the three, not really Chise, but that's just where we're at. So, well, should we get to my fun game of the week?
Yeah, let's get on to yours.
Dude, Wolves City. Come on, man.
So nearly did the thing.
I was so excited to get up and watch this game because I was definitely in that, like, I'm feeling kind of different today. Yeah. A little different because we had our morning game. We had Liverpool that morning. I was like, I got to get Jones in. I got to get moving. Mm-hmm. And after 7 minutes, Wolves took the lead. And I said, that's awesome. But it's City. And they always find a way to win these games. And it seems like there's just so little we can do about it. I mean, you got to give credit to them. But at the same time, it was the Wolves. Okay?
Yeah. So I woke up to watch, like, the second half of this game, basically. But then, you know, went back and watched highlights of the first half. And it seemed like, you know, Wolves are set up pretty well and we're finding ways to kind of play through City, surprisingly. You know, Semedo has his incredible cross and it goes past, what, like 3-4 City defenders that no one can get to it. And, you know, perfectly placed for Strand Larsen to get that early goal. But even after that, I felt like it was, you know, Wolves weren't trying to sit back too much. I think they still wanted to try and play the game a bit.
They did. 100% they did.
And, you know, they made it difficult for City, and then, you know, of course, Gvardiol comes up with some banger, but
ridiculous shot.
I think there was always going to be a City goal in this game, but I think it's just the second one that it was really the bummer, not only because of the time, but just because of how hard Wolves had worked.
This game should be a sign for all the other clubs that it is possible to beat them.
It's possible to beat them. And read me that Haaland stat line again.
Oh, okay. Okay. Hang on. For the people. The people got to know.
That's what any club needs to study here is, like, how Wolves just shut him down.
we're going to look at the heat map too. Okay. Ready? Haaland. No shots. No tackles. No interceptions. No blocks. No take-ons. No goal-creating attempts. No assists, no clearances, no nothing. 13 touches on the day. Let's go look at his heat map really quick. Chad, He was a he hung out essentially in the midfield. Maybe a little bit at the top of the box, a little, but not much. Not much.
I mean, I need teams to just study what Wolves did, because to completely silence Haaland
after this
is
season?
Already a pretty big win. You know, obviously City has plenty of other players that are a threat that you need to account for, but like, this is a Wolves team that has been struggling and, you know, has had very brief moments of looking okay, and then here they come into City and kind of, I'd say, go toe-to-toe with them.
Like, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Maybe not as, like, attack, you know, head-on as people would like, but, like, Wolves obviously have to play to their strengths and you know, tactically be sound, and I think they did that, and, yeah, I mean, they worked so hard, and I think they just got so unlucky at the end. John Stones has some weird aura on him of, like, coming up with these last-second goals and saves and stuff, but...
So before we talk about the goal, I'm going to argue that the Wolves aren't that bad. And here's why. Okay? Here's why. I'm going to name you their losses right now. Mm-hmm. City. Brentford. Liverpool. Aston Villa. Brighton. I'm sorry. Brighton was in the cup. Newcastle. Chelsea. Arsenal.
That's been their schedule?
They got one draw against Forest. Who's top eight?
God damn.
So
that must be the hardest schedule.
It has to be. It has to be. And they went 5-3 against Brentford. All these other games, Chelsea was 6-2, but that was the was that the Madueke game where he said, "I hate this town"?
Oh yeah.
So like, you're always gonna lose that. That was set in stone. But you lose to Liverpool by one, you lose to City by one, you lose to Castle by one. I guess now as we move forward here, they have to go against Brighton next week. So another tough one, okay? But here's where I know. Here's where their season can turn around, okay? They got Crystal Palace, Southampton, Fulham, Bournemouth, Everton, West Ham, Ipswich, Leicester, Man U. I would say about 5 out of 8 of those are probably winnable.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize they had such a hard start to the season.
Me either.
But that makes a lot of sense because, I mean, yeah, they lost some key players, you know, over the summer. Mm-hmm. So already you're a little bit different, right? And then you had to come up against basically the entire top 10.
let's just to confirm much, our top right? 10 right now.
The only one.
I think it's everyone, right? I guess Brentford. Brentford isn't there.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, swap Brentford and Fulham, and then, you know, that's who they've had to play in the first start to the season here. It's just nuts.
They played the top 5 out of 6, and they have Brighton next week. Forest, Castle. That's crazy. That's crazy. So I think we've been a little harsh on them.
I'd agree.
So let's take, I think after they play Brighton, we won't judge him on the Brighton game, but then after that, they got to at least put some wins together. And then just like that, they're out of, I mean, if everyone keeps on the same pace right now, they're well out of relegation zone. If they win 5 out of those 8, which I think is entirely possible considering the way you've been playing against, 8 of the top 10 teams here, which is just hilarious. When I saw their schedule, I was like, no wonder why they're last.
Yeah, jeez.
Like, anyone.
Sorry, Wolves. I should have done more research on your schedule and why you're here. But, yeah, I mean, certainly one to keep an eye on now because their season can, I think, very quickly turn around.
Isn't that crazy?
If they continue to play how they've been playing over the past couple of weeks, I think... I mean, they certainly look better than Crystal Palace, so...
Oh, man, they look better than Palace, the Southampton annihilation that happened this weekend, Ipswich losing to Everton, I mean, and West Ham? Want to talk about West Ham?
No, because they're letting me down over and over and over.
What is happening? This is an unusual I guess teams that we thought we expected to be better than what they were.
Yeah.
Oh man, West Ham, that's just a heartbreaker. And then when you finally get Kudus going,
he's going too hard.
Jeez, dude, it's easily the most disappointing team right now. Besides, I guess Crystal Palace is probably there with them. But I think with the signings West Ham made and how they kind of were last season, kind of like on the fence with Moyes and kind of like maybe like, okay, maybe next year is go time. Exact opposite.
Yeah. I don't understand, what's really going on there. Like you're only missing, well now Kudus, but like other than that, you're only missing Fulkrug and you know, he's a good striker, but like, I don't think his striking ability, I don't think, is all too different from Antonio. Antonio has a little bit more pace, and I don't think you necessarily want to be playing Antonio anyway. But, you know, otherwise, it's still pretty much the same team that was kind of rolling last season, right? Like, you still have Paqueta there. You know, Bowen's still there. Suchek. You could have had James Ward-Prowse, but didn't want him for some reason. But and you know, they made some defensive signings, and I don't know, like you got Wan-Bissaka there who's I think provides a new threat on the attack while also being able to defend well.
He's been their best player.
Yeah, so like I don't know what's not clicking there, but it's very disappointing to see how their season has started, and I don't really see, you know, what needs to change for it to really kick on, because it feels like they're starting the players they need to start, you know, that are available. I don't know. There's something's off, clearly.
Very off. I don't know. I think it stems from the top, really. I think they got to make some change. Something's got to give here. And whether it be their new players need to start getting in more starting. I mean, Somerville's probably going to be playing while Kudus is out. Yeah. Will Kudus be out one game? Is that how that sub? No, he'll be out, I think, three.
Probably three. I think it was probably for violent conduct.
11:25 is his return. Yeah. So he's going to miss. Oh, yeah, three games. We're going to get an international break after the 10th of November.
Oh, great.
but yeah, it's just disappointing. We expected so much more. I think the West Ham fans expected so much more. Okay. And to lose 4-1 against Tottenham just shows how far off they are, considering Tottenham's kind of been a little, you know, all over the place too. You know, losing to Brighton 3-2, but then beating Man United 3-0, and now beating West Ham 4-1. They're going to play Crystal Palace next. I don't know what to expect there, considering how bad Palace has been. It's you would think Tottenham would take it.
Should,
yeah. They should, right? But it's. I don't watch Tottenham enough right now to really commentate on how well they're going to be playing in these games as we enter into November. But
yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I don't really know, like, what caused West Ham's collapse in this game, but they gave up 3 goals in 7 minutes. Like, even if there wasn't a goal before that, you're now down 3-1, right? Like, it's something you can't do. You can't have these lapses or just poor defensive positioning and stuff like at this level. And you know, I think all these players should be capable of being in the right position and you know, staying turned on and engaged in the game and all that. And I don't know, something's off. I don't know if it's like a, you know, a club culture thing is a little weird right now or something, or just players are not happy, the training is just not addressing what needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. Something's very wrong, and you know, West Ham needs to figure it out sooner rather than later, because I mean, not only do you need to perform well for this season just to, you know, place well at the end, but, like, you want to be able to hang on to your Kudus, your, you know, Paqueta, your Bowen, like, all these key players. Like, but if they see that the ships start to sink here, like, they might want to jump. And, you know, I'm sure clubs will come in for those players. You know, City's already looked at Pacatella. You know, Kudus was looked at by a few other teams before going to West Ham. Bowen, I think, you know, is... He's the weird one where, like, I feel like right now in this season is almost the past fantasy seasons where he, like, didn't do much, but then, you know, last season he really turned it on, and he's a key player to that team. So, I don't know. They got to figure it out, and, you know, whether you make an early manager sacking and try something fresh or bring Moyes back, you know. I don't know, but you know, it's you can't be 15th after 8 games.
No, not again. Not with who you've been playing against, and just letting these games slip. So, something to pay attention to. The Southampton collapse, Chad. Dude, when I saw Southampton up 2-0, and I said prediction correct, because I said I was like, you know what, this is the game they got to get on the board with. And props to Leicester for making the comeback.
Oh my god!
And then Jordan Ayew, I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot. Is this why Crystal Palace isn't winning these games? Is because he's not there anymore? This has got to be his first year away from Palace in what feels like a decade.
Yeah, probably close. Yeah.
Yeah. He was on Palace in 2018, so it's been a little while. So that was cool to see him get a game winner. And then just, you know, put Southampton in the ground and say you're still not getting your 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, you go up two, you can't let them come back to two. You certainly can't let them then get a third. Like, it's a rough one. You know, now you lost Fraser now too, so. I don't know how big a role he's been playing, but, you know, it's just another thing to pile on Southampton, unfortunately. And, I don't know. I mean, they certainly looked better in the first half than I think they have in any other game I've watched so far, but still a long way to go.
So we get to play the fun game again, Chad.
Oh, no.
What team is going to get their first win? Ipswich, Crystal Palace, Southampton, or Wolves?
Man, I really thought Ipswich would do better against Everton at home.
Yeah, they just played so bad. So yeah. we have Southampton versus City. You gonna rule that one out?
Come on.
You got Palace against Tottenham. Mm-hmm. You got Brentford versus Ipswich. And you got Wolves versus Brighton.
I think
I'm going to speak first. If I had to choose one, gun to my head, Wolves versus Brighton.
Yeah, that was my first thought. You know, I think not only have Wolves looked better in recent weeks, but I think having now played Brighton in the Cup, have a little bit of an idea of what they might bring out. So you can kind of use that to your advantage a touch. The only other one was like the Brentford Ipswich, just because Brentford sometimes like, just doesn't work.
They turn off.
But you know, Ipswich is, as well is I think sometimes doesn't work, you know, as we saw against Everton. Like, it almost seemed like they were kind of turning off, right? Like I felt like they were looking so good and so hungry in games, and then, you know, here was one where they should, if not win, get a draw from it. And I don't know, I feel like it might have been trying too hard or something. Like, it just... It was disappointing to see, honestly. Like, it's fine Everton won, and, you know, their goals, I think, were good. But, like, it just... I expected more from Ipswich in this.
Well, it put Everton over 6 points. Do you think the point deduction is coming?
I think they probably wait for that next international break.
That's when it happens. A little more discussion. I haven't seen much about point deductions in a little while. So I feel like we're due for something.
That's what I'm thinking. They're sitting on it a little bit, deciding, you know, how much they overspent or whatever the issue is this time. But, Yeah, Everson has to be aware that that might be coming.
Do you remember how many points they had last year before the before the deduction happened?
It wasn't a whole ton, because I think it put them right into relegation or right above relegation. I think. I forget, but... Yeah, it's a weird time to be an Everton fan still. Like, they're finally kind of turning around, but I feel like that's just looming over them.
I mean, they still have a lot of work to do.
Oh, yeah.
Right? No doubt about that. So they got their 10 points, I guess, redacted in February from 10 to 6. It did... It brought them, when the 10-point deduction happened, it brought them from 14th to 19th. So I think maybe their goal here is to not make them last with the deduction, right? So if you were to take those points away now, they wouldn't be last. If you're taking away 6, they won't be last.
But you can't do it right when they, you know, make that mark, right? That looks too planned. So I'm thinking, you wait for the international break. Mm. You're like, oh, we finally finished the investigation. You guys come back from international break, and you're in like 18th now.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yep. That's fair.
I will say Michael Keane's goal, though, banger.
He always scores bangers.
I don't know how.
But that's all he does. Crazy.
It's him and Fabian Schär.
Yeah.
Like, these two defenders that just like have a rocket and whip it out.
It's crazy.
They got to do it more, though. I want to see more of that.
Yeah, they don't shoot it enough, I don't think. I mean, Keane has a leg. And it's always funny for me to say Michael Keane's my boss. So it's always like Michael Keane's incredible. It's a funny thing to go back on. But I feel like he doesn't get enough credit nor playing time. I mean, last year, he barely played. He used to be a regular in our fantasy league. Yeah. And, you know, Tarkowski came in. I don't want to say he took his job, but he's always been the third man when I think he could, on the right team, be a solid number two, which I guess Tarkowski and him kind of have that 1-2 punch right now. You know, it's not the greatest 1-2 punch there ever was, because it is Tarkowski who's really only played for bottom five teams his whole life, it feels like.
Yeah. Big just, Sean Dyche fan.
He's been Brentford, Burnley, and Everton his whole career.
Yeesh. I hope this guy can go to like a nice middle-of-the-road team, if not higher, and like end his playing career as like stress-free. Just do a little defending here and there.
Like, why not Brighton? Brighton seems so fitting for him. It's. I mean, if Everton gets super punished, they're going to have to get rid of these players that are taking up wages, and he will be on that list. So
for sure.
All right. Good job, Everton. You got one. What other games we got, Chad? What do we need to knock off here?
We got to talk Fulham and Aston Villa. Burn Leno doing the thing.
Take it away.
Getting the assist.
first of the year for a keeper?
At least that we're tracking. I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
I think in league, also. I don't remember any other ones, but just a lovely long ball from keeper to striker. You know, Jimenez, I think, is finally kind of coming back into his old self. He's got that confidence again. Great strength to kind of hold off the defender and keep the ball and just powers it into that near post past Emmy. I thought it was going to be a good day for Fulham after that, and did not really pan out that way.
No, I mean, Aston Villa always kind of has been finding a way as of late. It's like they're finally getting everyone together. Still not a lot of Mattson, which I'm still pretty surprised about.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a weird one. I get Luka Dean is doing really well. And, I mean, that's kind of how he has been all the seasons he's been there, but then he gets injured and, you know, then it's been an issue. So I guess maybe they're just kind of anticipating that. Yeah. And then Mattson will come in full time. But, you know, I'd like to see Mattson more. I thought, you know, he had a good year at Dortmund. Sure, some trouble in the Champions League final, but, you know, it's a big stage. But, you know, otherwise, I think he was good. He was getting assists. He, you know, was almost like a Trent Light kind of vibe. But I'm sure we'll see more of him at some point. But I can't imagine he's too happy right now of just, like, getting these little few minutes here and there and not really getting to enjoy the game too much.
Unless they made him some promise that, you know, we're looking, you're our future, right?
Yeah.
We're going to maintain top four, give you the exposure to EPL, and then you're going to be, you know, jonesing to go in these next couple of years here. I don't know. It's just not our expectation, I guess.
Yeah, it's got to be hard, though, because, you know, he was starting almost every game, it looked like, for Dortmund.
Yes.
And, you know, yeah, Bundesliga and Premier League, I don't know if you'd say different levels, but at least different pay levels in there.
Champions League final, though.
Yeah, right? So, you know, you're on a winning team, a successful team. So I think you'd probably still come into this, whether you're given this, like, you're our future talk or not, and thinking, okay, well, I still feel like I should be getting more play time. Like, and, you know, that's not to say the times that he's come in, he's really lit it up. Like, he's had some good moments, I think, but... you know, he just also hasn't had a lot of opportunity. So we'll see more of him, but like, I just want to see more of him now.
You know who I want to see more of too? It's John Durant.
Yeah. What the heck?
I mean, I think they're cruising in this game, so they didn't worry about it too much, but yeah. 16 minutes for him. We haven't seen him for more than 30 minutes in a game yet. We don't even know what he could be for a full 90. We have no idea. He might be worse. He might.
Could be,
but I doubt it.
Super sub, and you know, that's his role. But yeah, I think since Watkins has kind of not fully reached his scoring credentials that he can, but it is kind of scoring and assisting, I think he's probably locked in his spot. And yeah, Durant will just be that super sub for now. And
but I feel like Durant's not the type of player who you want to be doing this with because he's so young. And those big clubs are going to come knocking because they see the youth and they see how good he is at this age. It, you know, nowhere near the level of Mbappe, at least from what we know. But when Mbappe was from playing with Monaco, PSG came knocking around the same time. And that was because maybe Aston Villa's going big brain here and saying we're not going to play you a lot because then we think these big clubs might come after you because you're so good. I doubt it. If that was the case, they should be top of the league right now if that's what they're really trying to do. It just, I feel like he's so good, and to only be playing 15 minutes a game, and he knows he's so good, it's an interesting game to play right now, because I would argue he is the best player coming off the bench in the Premier League.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Outside of the starting 11 for all?
He's done it a few times now, coming in and getting the winner, right? So it's like...
Oh, winner? Yeah, a couple. Definitely a couple.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that shows enough whether, you know, obviously teams can scout him more and I don't know if he plays with reserves or whatever, you know, kind of games on the side that he gets into, but... you know, I think that already is showing a lot of, like, he has the mental fortitude to come in to a game late stage and not only want to perform, but, like, actually have a meaningful performance and, you know, get a goal or even get the winner, or just, you know, he looks good. And I'm surprised we haven't seen him start yet. And honestly, I think you could maybe do like a him and Ollie up top situation, depending on what, you know, competition's looking like. But I don't know. I think we'll definitely see more of him in some form, but I hope it's not just always a super sub role.
He has 4 of the 11 games Aston Villa has played. He has 4 game winners.
That's what I'm saying.
Bayern Munich, Everton, Leicester, West Ham. Now, you three of those EPL teams are nothing. Yeah. But to go against Bayern, and how many minutes in this game was he in for? Nine? I have Bayern winning the Champions League final, to be honest. It's crazy. Yeah. I think, you know, Champions League final is in Munich this year. And I home field advantage means everything. And I just think, sure. I think Bayern can do it. Their squad is so talented. But yeah, huge ups for Duran for doing that there. I think that's when things kind of started to pop off for him too. I think that was his last goal was in that game. Yeah, it was October 2nd. So he's now on a 2-game patch with no goals and 16 minutes in this last game. I understand you were winning just fine.
Yeah.
But hell, I think he deserves to start in their Champions League game this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
Give him a run out and, you know, see, yeah, how he looks in 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah, I'm sure, you know, obviously Emery sees him in training and everything every day, but I'd like to think if he can come in and perform and you know, get something from 16 minutes, 9 minutes, whatever it's going to be, mm-hmm. he can, you know, do something similar, if not more, over at least a 60, 70 minute period.
Right. We'll see. We will see. Yeah. All right, last two games here. Brighton, Newcastle. Danny Welbeck finding another way.
Danny Welbeck, he's doing it.
5 goals, 8 games. No one but Hector thought that was going to happen. So, again.
Well, I don't know if you saw, but he picked up some injury in this.
Oh, no.
And it looks like a back injury, but it was enough where they, like, basically stretchered him off and he went like straight to hospital. They said he's fine, but it was, I don't know, it, like, the challenge itself looked pretty innocuous. Like, it was him and I think Char just kind of, like, you know, back into each other to head down a ball, and then yeah, he went down clearly in a lot of pain, so I don't know, maybe some nerve got pinched or something there, but yeah, you know, it'll be a big loss for Brighton. Welbeck's been in great form this season, you know. Hopefully he can come back soon, because we haven't seen a lot of Ferguson, but, you know, one, he's still young, and two, even, you know, last season he had brief moments of looking really good, but then kind of fell flat.
Yep.
So, but yeah, you know, great win for Brighton away at Newcastle. Commentators are saying that, you know, Newcastle's had such a good home run. They hadn't lost in 11 matches at home. And, you know, for Brighton to get there, do their thing, kind of just hit them, almost like blindside them. Like, I don't think they expected Danny Welbeck to show up and do his thing, but he did it. And then, you know, Brighton kind of stood strong. I know Gordon had a pretty good chance, but that's just kind of been Anthony Gordon this season so far. It's pretty lackluster, and, you know, kind of all of Newcastle's been, I feel like lackluster is a pretty good word for all of Newcastle, honestly. It's just not really playing as quick and as threatening as we've seen them in the past, and also not as secure, I think, as we've seen them in the past. So
they're playing like a ninth-place team. I think that's
fair to say,
right? Yeah. Not awful, but you are a step behind the others in front of you.
Yeah.
All right, and then unfortunately, Chad, we didn't get to really rip on Man United this week. Ugh. They got away beating Brentford. Towering header. A Pinnock there in that game. Awesome goal. He's another guy who I would love to see kind of on a more established squad. Mm-hmm. But again, he's Brentford's guy. He's been there for a while. But Man U found a way to come back in this one, shockingly. I think Hoyland... first game back in a little bit for Hoyland. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he was injured for a while.
Yeah. He did play a little bit against Villa. So he was kind of here and there, but again, he's kind of getting back into form here. Nice goal for him. Game winner. Bruno with the assist, which I was, again, shocked to put stats in for him. It feels like a rare thing we can do. We are doing, he might be one of the top midfielders this week. Again, we still have to track one more game, so, but I don't think anything too crazy happened in the Forest game today. So
yeah, as of right now, he's top scoring midfielder. So
out of everyone,
uh-huh.
Him and Casemiro take it away, and then Kudus going positive despite getting a red.
You know, that's all you can ask for after after his day.
And I fully expect Murillo to get into top four for defenders. Clean sheet. I think he had like 7 clearances, couple interceptions.
There so you go. There
big,
you go.
Big for Forest. So you might actually, those points. Yeah, you might bump into second here, Chad.
Come on.
And then it's the two of us up at top, and then the theories begin. What calculations are they doing up there?
Look, I played the whole game. I went down. I came back up.
You did.
Impossible for everyone.
You did. So. You just got to believe. You got to have faith, right? We talked about faith.
You got to have faith. You got to put Salah in your team.
That's right. That's right. One of three. You're one of three. All right. Well, should we get to our team player goal and take it away from there? Want to lead us off?
Yes, goals. I liked Jimenez's goal. It just... that good, like, kind of striker. I mean, the Leno assist is certainly part of it. But that nice, like, strong striker kind of hold off the defender goal, put in the corner. Garnacho's goal is pretty nice. Floated in cross from Rashford to the back post, and he just kind of whacks it. Keane, of course, bangs it. I liked Ryan Christie's goal against Arsenal. Nice play. Gvardiol, you know, another banger. Seems to be his bread and butter.
Yeah, he's good at those.
Yeah. And then Curtis Jones, you know, the assist was great as well, but that control to do it so close to goal and still get it around the keeper is, you know, takes a lot of skill and a lot of concentration. And you know, Curtis Jones was out for a while, right?
Yep.
So yeah, it's nice to see him back, and you know, back and kind of almost back at his best. So
he looked, yeah, honestly, this is his best game I've seen him play in quite a while. He bounced back fairly quickly, I think. It's he played the last couple games here, but again, limited minutes. Yeah. He's only 23, which I think people forget. It feels like he's been with Liverpool for quite a while. I mean, technically he has. He was playing senior games in 2019, 2020. So he has been there for a little bit of time. So yeah, good to see him play well, get a goal, earn a PK. He was kind of all over the pitch, which is nice. The only difference between R2 is just Pinnick here, the towering header. I love to see it. Yeah. He just got up and was bigger than everyone else. I don't know if you saw this, but Delight had to get subbed off at that moment because his head was bleeding. And then I don't know if you saw his reaction when the goal was scored. Oh, not pretty. And I get it. Not a pretty reaction. He knows he probably could have been there to at least, you know, do something, cause something to happen. But you never know in those situations. But I understand the frustration.
Yeah, I'm sure he feels like he could have been there to stop it, but like, you know, anytime any player's bleeding, they always get taken out. Like, so it's
don't bleed.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, nothing that the ref did wrong this time, surprisingly.
Yeah, right. That's funny. I kind of want to lean Michael Keane because we're blushing over it.
I Michael Keane, I think, is first for me, and then probably Curtis Jones.
Fair.
Gavardio's goal is great, but like I've seen him do it a few times already.
Yeah, share the wealth.
Yeah.
For team, tough one for me. Mm-hmm. Tough. The Wolves. God, I want to give it to a losing team, but you just can't do that. But boy, do I want to, because you were just right there. I have hope for you, Wolves.
So close.
I really do. It's between Leicester and Bournemouth for me, right?
I actually have the same.
I know. I am leaning Leicester because of the comeback, right? Really hard to come back and to do it at the last possible second. in Man City fashion. Again, Southampton. If it was anyone in the league, of course it's Southampton that you're going to come back and do that against. Sure. Bournemouth, though, you're right there. Your second ever win against Arsenal in the Premier League. You know, fortunate you were up a man for the entirety of the game.
Yeah.
It's. I don't want to say they got an easy win here because that's far from the truth, but Leicester had to fight and claw and get their way back into this game and then found a last possible minute winner. So that's where my nomination leads.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of feel the same. You know, Leicester will have definitely benefited from Ryan Fraser getting a red card, but they still had to get another goal to get the win.
Sure.
And they didn't have, you know, a whole 60 minutes to do it. So
they had about 20.
Yeah. So I think Leicester's a great shout. You know, they were able to turn it around, and the last minute winners always just hit different. So again, shout outs to Bournemouth. You've been playing well. You did your thing. You took advantage of a sloppy, already kind of careless Arsenal team and, you know, made a bad situation even worse. So you did your thing, got your win. But yeah, I think Leicester on the weekend was the real shining light, I guess.
Yep. Yep. It's fair. Well, I will say, this next player that I'm going to nominate is on a losing team. But Chad, he deserves it.
Yeah.
Came back from the dead. Jose Sa. Almost. This is I only have one player written down. Sa.
Yeah.
Has to be, man. If he wasn't there, 5 saves on the day, 2 claims. Again, crucial saves. He was just a rock back there, and I think at this point with the Wolves season hopefully improving, they need to just keep him back there because he is Wolverhampton.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually didn't have anyone written down.
It was tough this week.
It was tough this week, and Saw was definitely in my head. I mean, yeah, you lost. You led in 2 goals, but I think the effort was not only the effort, but to come back from not playing for so long and come straight back into a game against City and put up a great display like this that, you know, really kept the Wolves in it and almost got them the draw. You know, I think it's hard to say. Johnston could have done that same thing. I don't know. But for Saw to come back in here, you know, I think the manager obviously knew something of what Saw could bring to this team in such a big game. And, you know, I'd say he did and nearly took it to like a level more than I think the manager would have expected. So,
I mean, look at the goals City scored. Like, not many keepers are saving those shots.
No. You know, it's the Gvardiol one. Yeah. I think you'd be hard pressed to find any keeper to stop a hit like that. And then the Stones so close to you. You know, whether you want to say that he was slightly impeded by Bernardo Silva or not, I don't really think so. But, you know, it's just so close and has to be such a quick reaction save. They can do it, but, you know, it's so rare to see a ball hit that well, so close to goal, you know, get saved. So.
And he hit it right above his head, which is just a crazy place to have to get to. And in hindsight, right, you almost like just jump up and head it. That probably would have like saved it. But that's not a goalie's brain. You're not thinking that way. And we didn't even talk about the Silva thing. I think Silva distracted. I know you said impeded, but I think distracted is probably the word I would use there, just to the point to where it wasn't flagrant. And, hey, hats off to doing that. It is tough for a coach to accept. I know Gary O'Neill is not happy about it. He says he's going to go to the PGMOL and discuss it. I don't think he's going to win that one. But it was just a a damn it man situation of another team being so close to taking points off of City and just getting heartbroken again. But again, they should go into this next week with a ton of positivity. And Wolves, we have our eyes on you. I've never been so up on a last place team. I mean, honestly.
No, that's fair. You know, we didn't understand your schedule. I'm sorry.
Yep.
But we get it now. We get what's been going on.
Yep.
You know, we're rallying behind you.
We're with you. We are Wolves. Dang. Guess my talking voice is done. It's been a minute, okay? We've had two episodes in the last 30 days now, so we gotta get our things under control. All right, Chad, anything else for the people?
No, I mean, look, if you're one of the 300-something viewers, come join the Discord. You know, we more footy talk, watch games, getting the pro clubs together, getting the Rush team together.
Maybe FIFA tournament during Thanksgiving?
FIFA tournament's coming around. So, yeah, you know, it's building a nice little community here, and great to have you.
Well said, Chad. We got a fun week ahead of us. Game starting on Friday this week. Love a midday. Well, I shouldn't say a mid. Well, we got Champions League in the middle of the week, and then we go right into it in Premier League. It was awesome to watch Premier League on a Monday. It's just what I've been missing. And we go again next Sunday, and then it's Aloha time.
Yes, sir.
We'll be there soon. Can't wait to see you on the beach. Bring your kit. We'll do some beach shots, some Hooli beach shots. I still need those photos from the wedding, by the way. I think, do you have them?
I think so.
I think you have them.
Pretty sure.
So we'll compile those and maybe put them in the Hooli meetup, because people need to see it. All right. With that, the Hooligans pitch, we're out. Peace.